How can we not be changed by that fact, that reality, as we look at it, how where we see and we sing, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. You know, sin leaves this crimson stain, but he takes it and he washes it. I mean, he takes it from us, and how can we not be changed by that? It was a year ago that we entered into a study in the Gospel of John. We're up through roughly about chapter 11 now, and at the beginning a year ago, we kind of laid it out and we said, you know, if we're going to be looking at this gospel of Jesus Christ, when we look at the scripture, we look at the word, and we open it up and we want to read what it says, and it's when we encounter that, when we read those words and we read the gospel and we come to realize that maybe this Jesus, who this gospel is talking about, maybe this Jesus really is who he says he is. And as we look at that and we come to this point, it's like, what do we do with that? We have to do something with it. Either Jesus is who he says he is, or he's not. Either this gospel is true that we're reading, or it's not. And if this gospel is true, and if Jesus really is who he says he is, then I have no choice but to really be affected by what it is that I'm looking at in the scripture. And so we looked at it a year ago, and we came to this reality. If we're going to look at this scripture, and we're going to allow this scripture to permeate us, allow this scripture to change us, we should be different a year from where we were when we began. And so here we are, the last day of 2017, and we challenged it right from the beginning that we should be different. There should be something about us that the Lord has taken and transformed in us. We should have allowed ourselves to be in such a position that the Lord would continue to do this work in us. And I know from stories that I have shared with you, and many of you have shared with me, that in fact the Lord has been faithful and has done some of this changing work in our lives. Stories of healing, and in some cases miraculous. Stories of how he has led us through maybe some difficult things, how he has put into our lives certain people and places, and it's just like, wow, the timing, God is doing something really cool and really amazing throughout this. Story after story, and some of those we're going to hear this morning. But as we open this book, we have a choice to make. As we look at this gospel, we have a choice to make. Am I going to take this shield of protection, and kind of remove it so that when I read the scripture, when I read this gospel that we've been going through, will I allow the Holy Spirit to do that changing work in my heart? Will I allow him to transform my heart from that heart of stone into a heart of flesh? Or am I going to keep that shield up and say, you know, I'm not comfortable with the change that I think you want to have in me? But we can't come. We looked at it at 2 weeks ago. Remember that flame just briefly, that illustration that wasn't quite really able to be grasped. We had this flame. We passed this candle in front of this flame. And the candle can't help but be changed, be affected as it passes by the flame. And likewise, when we come into face-to-face with who Jesus really is, we come face-to-face with the love that he has for us, we can't help but be changed. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I any different today than I was a year ago today? Is my heart different? Is my heart softer? Has he done this work from the inside out? Because it's not just a behavioral change. We're not trying to change behaviors. The Lord, yeah, there's things that we look at the scripture and he wants us to live in a certain way, but he's not about changing our behaviors. He's about changing our hearts. And when your heart is changed, the behaviors then that he also sees as unhealthy for us will also, I believe, likewise change. He's about doing a work in our hearts. And I want us to be in a position, not only this morning, but throughout the rest of 2018, which is to come, to continue to put ourselves in a position where he can do that changing work in our hearts. And so when we looked at this gospel, we looked through the Gospel of John up through about chapter 11 is where we're at now. And we could identify different people that had encountered Jesus Christ and they had their lives changed. Okay, just by a simple encounter with Jesus, they were different. Nicodemus was one of them. Remember that early on in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and he approaches him and Jesus says to him, you know, you're Israel's teacher and I'll tell you what has to happen. You have to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what in the world are you talking about? How in the world am I going to re-enter my mother's womb? Have you seen the size of me? And Jesus says, you're Israel's teacher and yet you still don't understand what it is. You need to be born from above. You need to be born from heaven. You need to be born by the Holy Spirit. And there's this change then that happens in Nicodemus, and we see that throughout as we look at the Gospel of John. We see the disciples' lives were changed. They were fishermen. Jesus says, and come and follow me, and they dropped their nets, and they went and followed Jesus. Their lives were never the same after they encountered Jesus. We see a lame man. Remember, he's sitting by the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus comes by and says, do you want to be well? Of course I want to be well. What's wrong with you? Can you not see that I can't even walk? And Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. The man's life was forever changed. And yet we see in him, he continued to keep that shield up. Yes, he was changed, but there was part of him that didn't allow Jesus to do that heart change on the inside. And we saw this blind man who's sitting outside the city gates. Remember that? Jesus comes out, and the people are asking, why is this man blind? Was he blind from birth? Or rather, was it his parents' sin or his own sin? What happened? Jesus said, you knuckleheads, it has nothing to do with this man's sin. And he was born this way so that I could reveal to you who I am. And he healed this man, and that man then, I believe, was changed from the inside out. Not only with his eyes restored, but he also was changed from the inside out. And then we see this woman who was caught in the sin of adultery. They take her to Jesus, they throw her down at his feet, and they say, all right, the law says we should stone her. And Jesus says, any of you who don't have sin, by all means, take and cast that first stone. They all recognize their heart for what it was. They're sinful, dropped their stones, walked away. We have the woman at the well. Jesus comes up and meets this woman at the well. She's a Samaritan, which were frowned upon by the Jews. And yet Jesus goes up to her, he encounters her, and in that brief interaction, you see this change take place in that woman as well. And so you see these lives change just by the mere encounter with Jesus Christ. And we have some stories this morning of people who have watched the Lord do a work in their life through amazing timing. We're going to hear stories about how the Lord is continuing to do a heart-changing work, even through years of faithful service. And I want you to listen, and I want you to understand a couple of things as we hear these stories. I want you to understand that God is at work. The Lord is moving in people's lives. He is doing things in this community. He's doing things in this church. I don't want you to miss that the Lord is actively working. I want you to hear that this morning, and I'm convinced you will hear that. I also want you to hear this reality. There's a truth, and we're going to point this out afterwards, that the Lord is continuing and wanting to do a work in every single one of us in this morning. Even if you have chosen to follow Christ for years and generations and decades, whatever, however you want to word that, he is continuing to do a work in your heart, a transforming work. But yet what we find, even if we've chosen to say yes to him at some point, we kind of start to put up this shield. We don't let him continue to do that transforming work because we're afraid of maybe where he'll take us. We're afraid of maybe what that will cost us. But I want to emphasize, if you're sitting here in this room, the Lord has a message for you from these testimonies of these people, and he's got a work that he wants to continue to do that he's already begun in every one of us. So at this point, I'd like to invite Stacy and her girls up, and they're going to share with us. Come on up, Stacy.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stacy Anderson, and these are my three daughters.
Alexis,
Sophia,
Chloe.
Today I would like to share with you how God has blessed our family over the last year in a couple different ways. It's been about 22 years since I have gone to church besides attending weddings and funerals. Growing up in Wisconsin, I remember going to Sunday school until I was in third grade when my parents divorced. I have lived in Little Falls for 18 years, and I've always said I wanted to find a church to attend, but somehow I could never find the time to figure out where I wanted to go. Coming from a small town and only having one church to attend, to then moving here, there's so many churches to choose from. It wasn't until this past year that I have seen the path that God wants me to follow. In March of 2016, my coworkers, which are also Habitat board members, told me I should apply for Habitat for Humanity. At that time, I knew nothing about the program, and I was skeptical about applying. I didn't turn in my application by the deadline, but it didn't end there. Kathy from Habitat reached out to me after the deadline. She told me there were some changes that were made to the guidelines, and there wasn't many applicants, so they were extending the application deadline and wanted me to get mine turned in. A couple days later, I turn in my application. November of 2016, the week of Thanksgiving, my life changed. Kathy from Habitat showed up at my work towards the end of the day to inform me that I was selected to be the 2017 Habitat homeowner. I wasn't expecting it at all, and it took me a while to finally comprehend what had just happened. Becoming the 2017 Habitat homeowner was not the only thing that God has blessed us with. In January of 2017, I met Joetta at kindergarten pre-screening for Chloe. Through conversation, I began to tell Joetta that we would be moving eventually, but didn't know when. I told her we were selected for the 2017 Habitat homeowner, and she was beyond excited for us. She wanted to help us in any way that she could. Joetta asked where our house would be located, and she was pretty sure she knew who our neighbors were, Ryan and Sarah Olson. We started talking about church, and Joetta invited us to come check out Little Falls Alliance. Shortly after, we walked through these church doors, and we haven't left since. God has opened his doors and welcomed my family. Then God continued to put good people in our path. In mid-February, a lady came into my work asking for a notary. I asked for a driver's license, and as I started to document her address, I paused, I looked up at her, and I started to introduce myself as her soon-to-be new neighbor. Then again in March, a couple came into my work, and they were also my new neighbors. I met all three of our neighbors before we even had our groundbreaking ceremony. Not sure how many people get to meet their neighbors before they actually move in, but I was lucky enough to do so. Through God's plan for our future, everything was falling into place. During this time, God has not only blessed our family with an amazing journey to build our own home, but with incredible people as well. I have met and worked with many volunteers during the process of building our home. When I look back at the timeline of events, the application deadline being extended, becoming the Habitat homeowner, meeting Joetta, finding out my new neighbor is the pastor of Little Falls Alliance, attending Little Falls Alliance, and meeting our other two neighbors, I believe that God put these people in our path for a reason. Being a single mother of three, there are days I felt weak and hopeless. I couldn't figure out what was missing or how to find strength. There was a void I didn't know how to fill. Turns out God was a missing piece to my puzzle. Thank you, everyone, for here for supporting us and accepting us into your lives.
Thank you, Stacy. I appreciate this reality that even before Stacy recognized that God had a hand in those sequences, God had a hand in those sequences. You know what I'm saying? You know, even before we recognize that God is at work in our lives, he's at work in our lives. You know, and I don't want us to miss that, because that is so critical. Even on some things that maybe seem like this is really hard. I don't know why I'm having to deal with this. I don't know why this there can't be anything good coming out of this. Yet God has his hand in it, and you see something beautiful come out like that. It's just wonderful. So I'm also going to have Terry come up. And Terry's going to share a little bit of a different angle on things, and I just really am excited for what Terry has to share this morning as well.
Good morning. Like most of you, I was born at a very young age. And actually, a good many of you were named after me. Yeah, you think about that. Most of you were named after me. Well, that's the humor for the day. So,
name came later.
Okay. Like I said, that's the humor for the day. Sick, but I just wanted to make sure you were awake. And I also was saved at a very young age, at the age of 4. Through the ministry of a Native American evangelist who was speaking in our church. He was also a very fine concert organist and did some wonderful performances. Of course, I don't remember those, but we did have an organ in the church, and he played that very wonderfully. But I met the Lord at that young age, and my parents were believers. We were in church without fail every time the church doors were open, and sometimes we even went to clean the church. So we opened them ourselves. But I give you this background so that you know the atmosphere in which I grew up. And the nurturing that I received as a child. And through those years and my very regular attendance at all church service, Sunday school, morning worship, youth group in the afternoon, and evening service, and Wednesday night prayer service, missionary conference, which was an eight-day event, we were there. And oftentimes even during the week. And there was lit in my soul a desire to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord. And throughout my elementary years, throughout my teen years, that was a determination that I would serve the Lord. That's not to say that I lived a perfect life, far from it, but there was always this undercurrent that brought me back to center, that God was first in my life. And I thought I was doing what I needed to do as a believer. And I believe I was. He also brought me to the place where he called me to full-time Christian ministry. And so after graduation from high school, I headed off to the fine institution known as St. Paul Bible College, entered college, and in the course of time there, felt led that I was to serve the Lord overseas as a missionary. During that time, I also met my wife-to-be, Eldora. We married after my fourth year, my first senior year in college, and in 1971, I graduated from college. And in 1978, we landed in the Philippines to serve as missionaries with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. All wonderful things, great things. And to experience God's blessing in those years of ministry before heading overseas, as well as our time in the Philippines, I will tell you a little bit about that, but that's not really the point. It's to still set the tone for what God is still doing today. Because except for God's power, how can you explain the silencing, the calming of a screaming child in the middle of the night? How can you explain the birth of a baby in a remote mountain village just moments after I had gone in and prayed for this lady that had been in labor for 2 days? How can you explain crossing a river with the water lapping over the hood of the vehicle that you're in safely, except for God's power? How can you explain the transformation of lives in the mountains of the Philippines, of the southern Philippines, except that God took our stumbling attempts at speaking in a foreign language, which maybe still would come easier to me than this language that they call English, but to take our stumbling attempts in that language that we had struggled to learn and to transform lives throughout the mountains of the southern Philippines, except for God's power in our lives. And then more recently, in the last couple of years, to go through to the diagnosis, the illness, and all of the things that occurred in the time that Eldora was sick, and then to be with her at her passing and to know that she went from this life with so many things that are not pleasant, and to pass into the presence with perfect healing of her Lord and Savior, and to experience peace even in those days. That is past, but yet in all of that, I was experiencing what I felt to be God's best. Down days, yes, but still to experience God's best. But what is so amazing to me is that moving forward from that, from the passing of Eldora nearly 2.5 years ago, to experience what God has for me today blows my mind even every time I stop and reflect on it. Because since that time, it as if that is just the infancy of my spiritual growth and development. Because God has become like my constant companion in a way that I had never experienced before. His word has taken on meaning that I didn't realize before. I couldn't see, I couldn't understand, I couldn't grasp what it was that he was saying. And that's not just a one or a two-time occurrence, but it happens almost every time I open the Word and look at that and try to understand what it is that he's saying. He's saying, Terry, get a grip on what I'm saying to you. And I'm so blessed because he still speaks in a still, small voice and brings correction. He brings forgiveness for things that he points out to me, you shouldn't be doing this, and he corrects me and he forgives me for not having done it sooner. Well, let's see, that's page one. Can I still go? He's brought correction in attitude. He's brought correction for wrong actions. He has forgiven me. He has taught me so many new things. And Ryan will be talking about regeneration, and I'm not sure exactly which word it is that he will be using, but I want you to know and listen to what it is that he has to say, because I speak from personal experience that God regenerates in me again and again and again. I'm not saying that I'm saved over and over and again, but what I'm saying is that he has new life for me for today that didn't exist yesterday. And I'm so thankful to him for that. He's done so many remarkable things in my life in these days. I am so very much blessed. And my friends, I want you to know that you as Alliance Church have been a strong part in nurturing me in these days of my grief, of the loss of Eldora, and of the regeneration that God has given to me in these days. Because you have stood strongly, I say that again, you have stood strongly with me and supported me. And I thank you, I love you for it. But I am so excited also in the anticipation of what he's going to do tomorrow. Like the lame man that was that Jesus said, this is so that the glory of God can be shown. And my friends, God created you and he created me as unique individuals, and he wants to show his glory in us. I'm excited for what 2018 holds for me, for you, for us as the body of Christ.
I think we would be hard-pressed to find someone who has been following the Lord longer and more faithfully than Terry has. And yet what we've heard from Terry's testimony this morning is God's continuing to do that changing, that transforming inside of Terry's life and inside of Terry's heart. And he's doing the same with us, and that's what he wants to do. And I think if we gave opportunity and people around here, we would have stories, more stories that we could reflect back on for 2017 and say, yes, this is how the Lord worked in me. I'm here today, kind of like Stacy shared, because of some circumstances that the Lord had done in my life that allowed me to be here today. We can look back on maybe some times when we were stressed, maybe some times where we were really troubled, and the Lord was faithful in 2017, and we could point that out. Perhaps we can point out how he has been faithful to other members of our family, to our friends, whatever the case is. Maybe what we're looking at with 2017 is like, he has totally softened my heart. Because I was hard, I was bitter, and he's doing a work in here that I can't really explain as much as I'm learning to experience it. And I'm convinced that as we look at this, if every one of us should be able to say, I am different today than I was a year ago today. Everyone should be, because God has not been sitting idle. God is not idle in your life. You did not go through 2017 without God trying to do something in your life. Now, we can shield it somewhat and prevent him from doing that work, but the reality of it is God has been at work in your life through 2017. Maybe you haven't yet acknowledged it yet, kind of in that before stage where you haven't really come to see what God has been doing in you. And sometimes that takes time. That's okay. But I want to emphasize God has not been sitting idle in your life. He is doing a work, and he has done a work all through 2017, and he wants to do more in 2018. And I appreciate what Terry had to say with that as well. Here's what we're going to do. And this isn't going to be long. I'm not going to keep us here a long time. But what we have done, and I'm going to transition towards the end a little bit in a different way than I had planned, but we're going to go with it because I think that's what the Lord wants us to do this morning. But first, what I want us to do is I want us to look at a passage of Scripture. It's only 7 verses, and we're going to look at Titus chapter 3. Paul is writing this. Titus is the recipient of this letter from Paul. And Titus was a Gentile believer, not a gentleman in that sense, but a Gentile. In other words, he was not a Jew by birth, right? He would have been considered a non-Jew. And looking at what the gospel was, as the gospel then opened it up, so yes, you don't have to be a Jew to believe in Jesus. You don't have to be a Jew to have salvation. It's been opened up. And now, even if you are a non-Jew, if you're a Gentile, which was all non-Jews, even if you're one of those, you can be part of us. Well, Titus was one of Paul's converts. In other words, Paul had preached this message of the gospel. Titus was one of the hearers of the message, allowed that message to do a transforming work in his heart, and became a believer and a follower, and he's a Gentile. Okay? And it just gives you a little bit of a context then. So what we're looking at is here, Paul is writing to Titus, this Gentile, and this is what he says. He says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, and to be obedient. This looks like behavior stuff, right? But this is deeper than behavior stuff because this stuff is what's generated in the inside first, because you can try to do all this stuff behaviorally and you will be unsuccessful. And you will be unsuccessful until something goes on here first. In other words, you have to kind of care first before the behavior changes. It's like if you have a child and this child likes to disobey their parents, all right? They won't start obeying their parents until they start caring that their parents care. Did you follow that? All right, once the child starts to care that their parents care, like they're bothered and such, maybe that will be something that transforms that heart so they'll actually obey. But this is the idea. So it says, remind them to be subject to the rulers. In other words, to submit under the governing authorities that are over them. What would our country be like if we had people who put that into practice? Right now, I don't think we have that. And I'm not playing politics here, but let's just, on a hypothetical, what if a Hillary Clinton-like person suddenly started saying, oh, wow, Donald Trump really, he's got a tough job. And he's doing a great job trying to work through all of these nuances. Oh, I couldn't imagine trying to deal with what he's dealing with North Korea. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. In other words, this person who, in our culture, we just don't see it happen, would submit themselves under this authority that is over them at this point. You know, what kind of language does that speak? It speaks a heart thing, doesn't it? It speaks like there's some character going on in that person. So, to authorities and to be obedient and be ready for every good deed, To malign no one. No, malign means slander, talk negatively. Let's be honest. That's a tough one for us sometimes, isn't it? If you were a Republican or a Democrat, we'll keep it in the political realm right now, it's tough to not malign the other side, is it not? It's tough to not malign Packer fans. I'm sorry if you aren't one. But there's a good portion of us here that are relishing in the fact that the Packers are not in the playoffs. And hopefully, if all goes well today, the Vikings will have that first round bye so that we actually make it to week two of the playoffs. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, it's just like, wow, that was all this big buildup, and then we just crashed down way earlier than we were ready for it. Anyway, but it says to malign no one. In other words, don't talk negatively about anyone. And that's a huge thing. Can you do that without a change in your heart? I don't think so. And that points all the more where I'm convinced that God wants to do a work in our hearts, because he can't ask us to do that unless he's also first done that work in our heart. So let's let him do that work in our heart for 2018, so that by the 2018 I'm finding myself, you know, it's a lot easier to not be talking negatively about people. To malign no one, to be peaceable and gentle, showing every consideration for all men. I mean, that sounds like a pretty upstanding type person. That sounds like a person that I would probably enjoy being around, right? This person's character, if this is the way they don't talk negatively about me, they're very peaceable, they're very gentle, they show every kind of consideration, they're very considerate people. You know, they think about how this might affect other people, and they react accordingly. They got something is in them that is significant, that is different, that is good, that I like it, and I want to be around that kind of person. I think Jesus was like that. You know, and Jesus spoke harshly to some people, and usually spoke harshly to their face, you know, specifically the Jewish leaders when they were accusing him of this, that, and the other thing. Even at one point calls them a brood of vipers. You know, he says, what you guys do is you guys polish the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is still filthy. Those are harsh words. You know, in other words, what Jesus was saying to these people, all you care about is the action, and you don't care about what's going on the inside. And I can see what's going on the inside, and it's dirty. Verse 3 says, for we also, I love this. So Paul says this to Titus. He said, understand this, and this might help you to grasp it. For we also were foolish ourselves. In other words, we were disobedient. To be disobedient was foolish. That's really what Paul is saying. Okay, we were deceived. We were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice. Get this. It is a foolish thing to spend your life in malice and envy and hating each other. That is a foolish thing. It tears you up on the inside. It reflects really with that heart condition. And that's the point where we need to say, Jesus, I need to get this shield out of the way. I need to look at your gospel. I need to look at your word. And you got to do a penetrating work in here, because I'm finding myself bitter. I'm finding myself resentful. I'm finding myself really angry about everything that's going on around me. And it's very difficult to not lash out at people. So I need you to do a heart-changing work, a transforming work right now. And when he does that, he's going to still do it some more. But he's not going to be done with that. And here's the key verse. And the next one. It says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. In other words, God did something. Then something changed. And Paul is pointing that out to Titus. Then something changed. We were deceived. We were also foolish. And we did all of these things. We were full of hate. We were full of spite. We were full of resentment. But God did something that changed all that. What he did was he showed kindness. Because it's through God's kindness that leads people to repentance. God has shown us kindness beyond kindness. And how did he show us kindness? He sent his Son to suffer and to die for us. Is there anything kinder for what he did for us than to do that? But when the kindness of God, and isn't that a fascinating title for Jesus? He was the kindness of God expressed in human form. And his love of mankind, when he appeared, when we celebrated Christmas just a week ago, when we celebrate that, we're celebrating this idea that God was so kind to us that he sent his Son. Look at this. He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds, not for what we've done, okay? Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And get this one, here it is. Terry was talking about this one right here. by the washing of regeneration. If you have an NIV, it probably uses the word rebirth, by the washing of rebirth. Well, this is the NASB, and I've chosen this one in particular because this word that in the Greek that's used for regeneration is only used twice in the New Testament, here and in Matthew 19, verse 28. And in the Matthew 19, verse 28, really what Jesus is saying is those who have allowed me to do this regenerating work in them, they've removed that shield, they have followed me in this regenerating work, I'm making that into fruition, calling at the end where I'm making all things new, okay? This regeneration comes to full fruition. Well, the problem with I have with the NIV and using the rebirth is we reflect back onto what we just talked about with Nicodemus. And it's a different word, it's a different meaning. And so with Nicodemus, it was Jesus telling him, you have to be born again. Well, that is true, and that meant that you had to be born from above. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes in and does this new birth, this new work that begins. That is true. But this regeneration is a little bit of a different word. This regeneration is this idea of it's perpetual, okay? It's like this rebirth, rebirth, rebirth. And Terry said it well. It's not like this idea of getting saved, getting saved, getting saved, redoing that. But this idea that he is not done doing that work that he has begun in you. It's this idea of sanctification. We don't really understand and grasp what the sanctification is. But sanctification has two meanings, basically. It's to be set apart for God's purpose. But it's this growing closer to him. And when we choose to follow Christ, we are in the alliance. This is our statement of beliefs. We believe that you are positionally sanctified. That's the idea of that you are born again. But he also does this continued sanctification process where he is continuing to work in that heart to change your heart. He wants your heart to be different at the end of 2018 as it is now. He wants your heart to be different. I don't care where you're at. And that's what Terry articulated so well this morning. He wanted Terry's heart to be different. And Terry's heart, from what I've had the conversation, I know it and I believe it. Terry's heart is different today than it was a year ago today. And Terry's been following Christ 90 years? 89 years, you know? But you see the point. I mean, Terry is a faithful follower of Christ. And I'm not trying to embarrass Terry here, but he's a faithful follower of Christ. And yet he recognized that God was doing a work in his heart. We are in the same position, and God wants to do a work in our heart. And you don't let 2018 go by without having your heart changed by Jesus. Because it could happen. We can throw up that shield. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do that change, but we can throw up that shield and say, no, I'm comfortable with the way things are. Don't make any changes. Changes mean I have to be different. And different is hard. But God's at work whether you want him to be or not, and he's trying to get past that. Stacy had a beautiful testimony. God was doing things way before she even realized it, I'm convinced. You know? And then she can look back on the way God placed all those things. It's like, how could I not have seen it? But it was there. And it's easier. Hindsight sometimes is way easier to see. So this regeneration, it's kind of like my parents have been renovating their house for the last 37 years. I know. You're laughing like I'm exaggerating. I'm not. It is. You know, it's interesting because I grew up in the house, and for the last 37 years, they've been remodeling their home. They've done the kitchen maybe a couple times, the bathroom a couple times, and one of the reasons, and I'm not, this is okay. I'm not coming down on them because a couple of things that are affecting this. One is it's like a turn of the century home, like in the 1900s, early 1900s. So it's all the original studs are rough sawn, full 2 by 2 inch by 4 inch rough sawn oak lumber, you know, and it's twisted, and nothing is plumb, nothing is level, nothing is square, and so it's a difficult process. And my dad's doing it. I think his hobby is to do this stuff anyway. So this is, you know, you'd think it'd be, I would want to be done. I'm just saying that. You know, it's, if he had a home, you know, fixer-upper, you know, it'd just be fixer. The upper would signify that you actually would be done with it at some point, but it's just, so he would start a show, it's going to be called Fixer. And my show is like, I can't keep up fixing things because the things, what was it this morning? I shouldn't go there. You know, things break in your house, especially when you have, you know, larger families. Well, I nearly ended up in the toilet this morning. We'll just say that, okay? I know. Well, toilet seats, they break too. Okay. But anyway, what I want to emphasize is there's this regeneration. Okay, it's like making this house, this old house, is constantly working to make it new, to make it fresh. It's like an apple tree. And my horticultural experience is very, very limited. But I'll say this. We used to have an apple tree. We don't anymore because it fell in a storm, and then I cut the rest down. But anyway, an apple tree, think about it. Each year, okay, it starts by growing some leaves, and it grows some blossoms. All right, and then the blossoms, they end up falling, and in their place ends up growing this fruit. And year after year, you see this regrowth, and each year that tree gets a little bit bigger. Each tree, and if you care for it and you prune it right, each year that tree can get a little bit fuller. You know, and that's the idea, is God cares for us in a sense, kind of like that tree, that we constantly are regenerating, we're constantly regrowing for the idea, the purpose, that our heart is becoming better and softer, and that we can produce good fruit. And then even more fruit as we're cared for. Does that make sense? It's this idea, this regeneration. God wants to do that regenerating work in us. And this is how we're going to wrap up with this passage here. Get back into it. Regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us. Remember 2 weeks ago, we poured the root beer into the cup, and that love just overflowed. And this is the same kind of expression, whom he, God, Jesus Christ, poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, that we would be made heirs according to the hope that we have of eternal life. God is wanting to do a transforming work in you. Here's how I'd like to wrap up the service. I'm going to have Kevin and the worship team come on. This is a little bit unplanned, but I'm going to just work with me here. In this first song, Nothing But the Blood, it's a new one. And I don't know if this works for you, Kevin, in a sense, but get a feel for the song first. What I want you to do is I want you to stay sitting as we begin the song. And as you're sitting, you do have some connect cards there in front of you that Chris had pointed out earlier. So in some of those pockets, there may not be in every pocket, but just look at it. Here's what I want you to do with those connect cards. I want you to take some time, as Kevin is leading maybe the first verse of this song, I want you to take some time and reflect back on 2017. I want you to look at and take an honest evaluation. You don't have to turn these in. You can if you want, but you do not have to turn these in. But I want you to have something concrete that you can work with. I want you to have something concrete that you can do. I want you to do one of several things. I either want you to write on there somewhere, this is what I saw God do in 2017, you know? You can start listening off, God did this in 2017. Start acknowledging some of those things that you know that God had a hand in doing. If that's not coming to mind and you have something else, like, okay, this is how I feel that God changed my heart in 2017. I don't think we take enough time to reflect on these types of things. How God changed my heart in 2017. How is my heart different? I want you to acknowledge that. And I want you to write on that. You can put this in your Bible. You can leave it on your chair. We'll collect them later. I don't really care. But I want you to have something that you can concretely look at and say, okay, God changed my heart this way. God did this in my family this way. God did this in my life this way in 2017. I want you to take some honest time to reflect. And then maybe for 2018, can you recognize, can you acknowledge something that you feel that God wants to do, something transforming? And we can't necessarily tell God, this is what I want you to, how I want you to change me. But recognize, okay, maybe you're dealing with some of these things we've talked about. Maybe you're dealing with some bitterness. Maybe you're finding the way that you're treating people is, well, you know, I don't think that really God, that's what he wants from me. I need him to change that in my heart, not behaviors. Let him change your heart. Go ahead and acknowledge that for 2018 as well. Because we can't let 2018 go by without acknowledging that God is doing a transforming work in us.